Yes, you're listening to RTR FM 90.1, and this is the Perth Indie Media Radical Radio Show.
Oh, of course, you could also be listening to it on the internet, couldn't you?
Yes.
On rtrfm.com.au/listen, but you'd know that if you went to the perth.indiemedia.org website and find out. Now, on the phone with us right this very second is Pete from RAN. How are you going, Pete?
I'm doing well, thanks, Al.
Excellent. Now, just recently, on a Friday, the government, in their benevolence, decided to release thousands of refugees from detention, didn't they?
Thousands?
Billions?
Oh, Al, you're being sarcastic.
Oh.
Yeah, thousands, or I wouldn't say that. They, in fact, they haven't formally released anyone yet, I don't believe.
Mm.
I would characterise the announcements as merely being a bit of a con job to blunt some of the dissent that's developing within the government's own backbench.
Mm. Yeah, it's being touted as being a softening approach with all the framework still there. So the basic policy of mandatory detention is still there to keep all the terrorists out, mobbed to keep everything nice. But it's really not, hasn't really changed anything, has it?
Well, it's interesting that the rhetoric that Howard's been using in the media, he's telling lies, but also being truthful at the same time, which is quite interesting.
He's good at that.
His reference to keeping the basic framework in place, that's true. And I would put it more strongly than that. I would say that nothing at all has changed.
Mm.
And this is clearly Howard attempting to appeal to a certain constituency which these policies have been designed to appeal to. And that's basically a racist, xenophobic constituency within the Liberal Party as well as within the broader community. The impression they've conveyed, and it's a deliberate impression, I say that's a lie, because they're saying something they know it'll cause a certain perception, which is an incorrect perception. They've done that deliberately, therefore it's a lie. The lie is that they've somehow softened the policies, that somehow there's some compassion and humanity introduced to the way we're treating asylum seekers, and in fact all detainees in this country, and that's just not true at all.
Well, some have suggested it's a very minor tinkering with the administration of the system, and more space for those in department who are inclined to be less ruthlessly cruel, but no real new changes, just a supplement
legislation. Al, I think you've been reading some of the things I've been putting on the various email lists around the place.
Yeah, I've got a whole bunch of quotes.
I certainly would characterise it that way. Mm. There's nothing, none of the legislative changes which have been announced, so-called changes, none of them are anything more than restatements, provisions that were already in the Act.
Ah, so you're right.
So all of the stuff about, you know, putting families in so-called community accommodation, this is only referring to options the Department and the Minister already have, and that is using alternative places of detention, such as the residential housing projects, which are really mini detention centres, replete with razor wire and guards and cameras, but in the suburbs, rather than a big detention centre stuck out of town or in the desert somewhere.
Well, it's obviously completely different then, isn't it?
And so all of those statements and those so-called concessions and modifications really are just already available within the Act, so that's nothing at all has changed there.
So how's this going to affect people like Peter Quisim? Is he going to come up for a
bit? Well, the one so-called real change, you might say, and it's not really a change, but it is perhaps a real effect, is that they're stating that they have relaxed some of the conditions that were previously applying to the issuing of the so-called removal pending bridging visa.
Which is quite a horrible thing in itself, isn't it?
Well, this was certainly a visa that was designed to that was first touted or first announced in May, I think. Just before Easter, in fact.
Mm.
And was certainly trying to address the growing disquiet amongst some backbenchers in the government of the situation of some asylum seekers who've been detained for years on end, and in fact Peter Quisim become quite a famous one.
Mm.
People who they just couldn't deport for whatever reason, and there was seemed to be no remedy or solution for those people, and they faced the rest of their lives in detention. And the removal pending bridging visa was designed to allow those people to be out in the community until the government could find a way to remove them. However, the conditions were quite restrictive and required people to give up all rights to appeal and various other things. And so, essentially, out of about the 17 people who were offered, only about two or three took them up. I'm not sure if it was even as many as two or three. And so it was a complete failure as far as a method to try and address some of the dissent that was occurring about the most extreme cases of long-term detention.
So it's more...
That visa is now... The conditions have been relaxed a little bit, and they've been offered to 50 people, or 55, depending who you talk to. And it seems as though there may be a higher uptake now with the new relaxed conditions. However, people are still sounding a note of warning, because even in the documents that DIMI has been giving to detainees, of which I have a copy, there does appear to be internally inconsistent things in there, which do make it sound a little bit suspicious that perhaps it's not quite as relaxed, the conditions haven't been relaxed quite as much as the government has been implying in its media statements.
Pete, how do you see this will affect the general sort of refugee rights campaign or movement?
That's a very interesting question. I think we've seen from the various press releases from the activist groups and some of the more politically astute lobby groups, which we might call some of the more mainstream groups, perhaps some of the church groups, who also have quite strong positions against the government policy. Those have been quite insightful, and the analysis in those releases has been quite insightful. And it's clear that the serious campaigners and people who take fundamental questions of human rights and social justice seriously, none of those people have really been sucked in. These so-called reforms haven't been designed to address the concerns of those people. They've really been targeted at the dissent in the Liberal backbench. So it's the small L liberals that still... a few of them that still survive within the so-called
Liberal Party. It's interesting, isn't it, that the way that...
They have been a bit getting a bit upset. They're finally starting to have a bit of voice to say, listen, this is really out of order, this is unacceptable. And so these so-called reforms have been designed to reduce their disquiet to a level that makes their dissent tolerable to the Prime Minister. Basically preventing more people than the four hardcore dissenters jumping on board that group. And this is exactly what it's achieved. And now we even see some of those four dissenters now defending these reforms and saying, oh, no, it's all fine now, it's all wonderful now because we've just made these tiny little tinkers and a couple of people like Peter Kassim are now not going to be living in indefinite permanent detention.
So you think you might possibly lose some of the more liberal, smaller liberal Democrat support for the campaign, like people who will say, well, they've released all the detainees here? And
well, I'm not sure. I mean, that's certainly something that people are worried about, and I think the activists such as myself are certainly... speaking to some of the smaller liberal people who aren't necessarily bigger liberal supporters, to say, no, don't be conned by this. This is all a fake. You know, we've still got a lot of work to do. The essential human the essential things about the Act which constitute abuses of human rights are still there. There's still the denial of seek asylum with the migration excisions, so that people can't even come to Australia to even try and seek asylum, which is their lawful right to seek asylum. They can't even do that. They're still indefinite detention without charge or trial. All these reforms do that they're just a continuation of the tactics we've seen by the government in the last year or two to try and take some of the nastier consequences from some of the more extreme cases and don't be sucked in by them. And by and large, I think those people won't be. The people who will be sucked in and are being seem to be sucked in, so to speak, are the dissenters within the Liberal Party. Now, of course, they weren't really... part of our, a very important part of our campaign in a sense anyway. They're not out on the street marching. They've been sitting on their thumbs or sitting on their hands for years. They said nothing, virtually were quiet when things like Tampa happened. They voted, most of them have basically voted for these measures in the first place, with one or two exceptions who didn't cross the floor, by the way. Merely.
Yeah, Peter, it's Basra here from 12 Magazine. How are you going?
Hi.
Yeah, we've covered a lot of refugee stories in our latest magazine, and I'm just wondering, in America there's a movement ahead for the impeachment of President Bush. In England there's also movements for the removal of Tony Blair. Are you aware of anything in Australia that is similar for John Howard for his lies?
Well, I think the nearest thing we'd probably have here is the so-called Not Happy John campaign, which is pretty
lame. Well, that's piss weak, that's nothing.
Australians seem to have a remarkable tolerance for politicians telling them the most appalling lies. It's just bizarre. I mean, in a country where we had, before the last, 2 years ago, at the beginning of, before the Iraq War, we had the largest, almost some of the largest rallies we've ever seen on any issue in this country ever, almost. And yet they, and between that time and the last election, it became clear that the Prime Minister had clearly lied. There were no weapons of mass destruction. He knew it. It wasn't about freeing the Iraq people, and he knew it. And people still voted him in with increased majority and gave him control of the upper house to boot.
Similarly, too, in England and the States, in the last couple of elections there, I think our population in general across the board in countries like ours, democratic nations, are a bit apathetic along those lines. And
I guess it also comes back to the fact that this is a perfect example of how it's a populist, and
yes,
in a sense, Blair and Bush are as well.
Well, I mean, Australia is much worse, because Al refers to the fact that Blair and Bush both got re-elected, but in fact, neither of them got re-elected with increased majorities.
True.
In Australia, haven't got
we love the little
majority and got control of the upper house to boot.
I just got no idea, but for some reason, Australians love the little bastard, and he seems to... Sorry, John. He seems to represent something in Australian culture that needs to be voted for, so...
Wankerism.
I've never met anyone who actually voted for him yet.
Well, nobody. It's interesting that hardly anyone will admit to having voted for him.
Cool.
But,
anyway,
could our elections be rigged?
Hugh McKay basically predicted. He's a well-known social researcher.
Yeah.
And he doesn't do quantitative research for us. He doesn't crunch the numbers. He does qualitative research. He goes out and he talks to people and listens to their ideas. And he was predicting pretty much the result we got. And he said it's a remarkable thing that although John Howard's policies are largely unpopular and the government is largely unpopular and the things they've done are unpopular, the unpopularity doesn't seem to trans... and Howard himself is intensely unpopular personally, but the anger or that disquiet doesn't seem to transfer to his government. So although people don't actually love John Howard at all, but they're still willing to vote for him to be running the country.
I was being kind of cheeky there. We're going to have to wrap this one up, Pete, but...
So it's definitely not an end to the campaign anyway.
Absolutely not.
No, indeed. And so... where Refugee Day has this happened? I presume there was a bunch of people rallying for that.
There was a very successful day in Perth, and it was even more successful in some parts of the country. In Sydney, so by some estimates, there was 3,000 to 3,500 people.
Beautiful.
So this shows that some of these so-called reforms haven't successfully demobilised the important sections of the campaign. People understand it's a con. They're not going to be taken in. We're out here for the long haul. We're out here to do away with the human rights abuses such as mandatory detention. We're out here to reinstate the right of people to seek asylum.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks, Pete, and much appreciated for your time tonight.
Thanks very much for your time, Al.
No worries. And we'll catch you on the, flip side or something? We'll do some
on the streets.
On the streets. Cool. Thanks, Pete. We'll catch you around. If people want to get hold of...
Refugee Rights Action Network.
Go to ran. Ran. You tell us what it is, Pete, would you?
It's ran, RRAN-WA.org.
Cool. All right. Thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you soon.